Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
You have your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Titus. We're going to read from the second, the second book of Titus. I believe God always authors the things that He wants done if we'll just yield to His will. The things that we do to honor Him and walk in His will are already settled in heaven. And the reward is waiting. It's already settled. The psalmist said it. Your word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. When we walk by this word, then our deeds are settled in heaven. Waiting, building. Building that mansion that's going to be ours spiritually. From the book of Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That's what he was saying this morning. This grace has appeared to all men. To all men. Teaching us, that's we who are born again, believers, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the presence of this world. You're the light of the world. Here's a guideline for us today. Looking for what? That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar, I told you you were peculiar, a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Don't worry about those idiots that don't believe there's a God. Let the heathen rage. They may think they despise us, but they don't, because they can't slow down or stop God's work. Now Titus is one of the smallest books in the Bible. It has only 3 chapters, but they are very, very important to us. The reason I say it's one of the most important is because in it, in these short verses that we read this morning, we find a pattern of our life. Our lifestyle should be patterned after these words. That we are called to ungodliness. Separating ourselves. When you separate yourself from the ungodliness of this world, you become a peculiar person. The world thinks you're peculiar. And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Titus, who Titus was a Gentile. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. And he followed Paul, and he ministered mostly to the Gentiles. Now you have to understand that Paul was preaching and building churches at the time of the transition from the law to the gospel. Many of the most and maybe all of the religious leaders at that time were opposed to Paul. They were opposed to his ministry because they were still under the law. Jesus came while the world was still under the law. And the reason he did that, he said himself, I've come to fulfill the law. He was the only one who could ever keep every precept of the law. Ordinary men could not do it. You and I can't do it. We do it in him. Because he's the only one that could keep the law. But, Paul was preaching, teaching, and building churches while this transition was taking place. And he had much opposition. Not only from the Jews, especially from the Jews that were tied up in this religious law that Jesus came to separate us from. But he was also opposed by many Gentiles, heathens, that didn't know God and didn't want to know God. He was trying to bring, and he did bring, Jesus and the gospel to the Gentiles who the Jews hated. And then the Gentiles, in turn, hated the Jew because they hated them. A lot of hate going on there. But here's Paul in the middle of this thing, telling us through the anointing of the Holy Ghost how to live under the oppression of an enemy. He lived it, that oppression. They tried to kill him, tried to destroy him. Now they're trying to do that to us spiritually. Christianity is under attack today. Religion's growing. Religion's doing fine. Satan's having a ball in religion. But Christianity is under attack. And it was under attack when Paul was preaching and teaching and writing this. And he said, in the midst of all this oppression that you're going through now, he's telling Titus something very important. He's telling Titus in the middle of all this, they're going to call you a peculiar person. And they're going to oppress you, and they're going to fight against you, and sometimes it will be in the church. Oh. Where the enemy comes in to destroy the gospel that's being preached. Paul said, beware of that. Expect it and learn how to deal with it. Paul left Titus in charge of the church in Crete. And as he wrote this epistle to him, he said, preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach it in a Gentile world. Preach it in a Gentile church. Lay the foundation of the gospel right in front of the devil's face. Because Jesus said, this is my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan cannot win when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because when you do that, you're standing in his church. Oh, we have a habit of calling it my church. Well, that's okay, because we know that's a reference to where you go to church. But the true believer knows that it's his church. And when we go to my church, we're going to his church. And when we get there, we're going to act peculiar. Even though we're on Facebook, we're going to act peculiar. Because people out there are wondering, what this guy talking about? Why is he hollering so loud? You don't have to holler to preach this gospel. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to holler. Oh, but listen. When you get what Jesus wants you to have, you're not only going to holler, you're going to be peculiar. Oh, we was watching some singers on television yesterday evening, and my wife and I were really good singers. Yeah. They had great harmony and no music. It was very, very inspiring, the words. But I thought, why don't they have a little backup here? Why don't they put a little rhythm in it? Why don't they do what the Bible says? Praise the Lord with the stringed instruments. Praise the Lord with the tremble and praise the Lord with the harps and praise the Lord with everything you have. And if you can't do anything, praise the Lord with your hands. You can do that unless you got one missing. Then you stomp your feet. Praise the Lord. Titus was to preach this true gospel in a Gentile church. Now, I've almost been there. It wasn't supposed to be a Gentile church, but it was a, well, I was called when I was in Atlanta to preach in a church where the pastor and his family was on vacation, so I was called to fill in for them. Large church, about 1,500 people or so. And I knew when I walked in there that I was all alone. I felt like God had forsaken me. But He hadn't. So I preached the gospel, hard and fast. I tried to get some movement, but there was none. And I said, Lord, don't ever call me to preach like this again. I like to preach where the Spirit moves. Well, the Spirit moved in me, and I preached the gospel to them, and most of them just sat there, tell me something that I don't know. I already know this. Well, I found something they didn't know, and that was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. After service, there was one or two elderly ladies that greeted me and said how much they enjoyed the message. The rest of them left. But nevertheless, they heard the gospel. I know about preaching in a Gentile church. Lord, forgive me. I'm not passing judgment. I'm telling you how it was. Paul warned him of the corruption and the misdirection that some people would try to move in and guide the church in a different direction. See, we have churches going in every direction today. Yeah, we have churches that play music and sing, and we have churches that don't play music and sing. And we have churches that teach this and churches that teach that and churches, and on you can go. Why do we have all these different churches and religions and denominations? Because they've lost the direction. Somebody popped up with a new idea. Somebody had a vision because they ate too much chili before they went to bed. And came up with a religious idea when they woke up. And made something that's different. And Paul said, be careful that you don't lead this church in a new or a different direction. He warned him of the corruption that would be there. So as we look at these verses today, we find a guideline for our Christian lives. You can't live the Christian life unless we're guided by the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. He corrects us. Oh my. But all of that is done and given to us because there is one blessed hope. The hope of glory. Oh, listen, there are millions of people today, even in churches today, that are hopeless. Oh, they've got all the finer things of life, some of them. They've got wealth. They've got fame and fortune, and some don't have anything, as Mark described the gentleman that he witnessed to. But it doesn't matter whether you're in that condition or you're high up in the church and whatever. Doesn't matter about that. If you don't have Christ, you are hopeless. That's right. Amen. There's no hope for you. You can be as successful as you will in this life, but if your hope is in this life only, the Bible says you are a miserable person. Because if you have hope in this life, you're going to leave it here when you go. And where are you going to go if you don't have Christ in your life? The place you're going to go, you'll really be hopeless. Don't want to go there. With their faith in this world, they hope they can make it through the day. Yeah. A Christian lives day by day and has faith, wakes up in the morning and thanks God for the day, and thanks God for the opportunity to witness or to talk to someone today about Jesus Christ. Thank God for the light that's in you that you can share with someone else. But the unbeliever wakes up in the day and he says, man, I hope I can make it today. I hope I don't lose any money today. I hope my investment, I hope my the money in the stock market doesn't bottom out today, I hope. That's his hope. But with our faith in the hope, we don't hope with the world. We hope with a great hope called the blessed hope. Now people, I've been asked about this. Why do y'all say you're hoping as a Christian and then you say the world's wrong for hoping for what they want? I said, because the hope that we have hung on an old rugged cross, third day was resurrected, seated on the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for us, and gives us a hope that one day we're going to stand on streets of gold, live in a mansion that He's prepared for us, in a glorified body that will live for all eternity. Man, that's our hope. Give me yours. Yeah. I talked to a young man. His mother brought him up to the church, and asked me that I would talk to him because he said he didn't believe in God, and she was a woman that went to church now and again. And so the young man, I invited him in the office, and we sat there, and first thing I asked him was, "Why do you not believe in God?" Well, he just looked at me a little bit and said, "Well, I don't see God. I don't believe in anything I can't see." Huh? I said, "If you don't believe in God, why are you here? I can't make you believe in God, huh? But I'll tell you what, you believe in something or you wouldn't be here." Huh? "You can tell me you don't believe in God, and the Bible calls you a fool if you don't believe in God, but you got to believe in something or you wouldn't be here asking questions about God." Huh? Yeah. "Just go on and live your life and ignore it. Why you want to argue about something you don't believe in?" No, no. There's something there that says there is a God. I just don't want to serve Him. Yeah, that's what the world's about today. But you see, presidents and governments and social programs are not the answer. They're not the hope that we are to have. There's nothing wrong with those in that place where they're supposed to be. But don't put them in the same place as you put the hope of glory in your life. There's a separate place for them. They're not the answer. More religion is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer, whether you like it or not. I don't argue with people that don't believe in God. I don't argue with people that have all these questions trying to prove or disprove God from the Word of God. No, I don't have time for that. Huh? I'm reading and studying and preaching and praying more every day to satisfy a God that I know lives. How do I know it? Because you felt it this morning. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit, and I know that I am a child of God. I don't think I don't guess it. I know it. When I stop knowing that, I have no more hope. No more hope. Jesus is the only answer. As believers, we have this blessed hope. This hope is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And in that blessed hope, we are looking and waiting. Paul told Titus, you have to be looking and waiting for the glorious appearance of our Lord. Watching, waiting, ready. Ready. He's coming in a glorious appearance. The rapture of the church is near. How near? We don't know. But it's near enough for me to stay ready to go. Just in case. He may not come again for 100 years, 50 years, 10 years, or tonight. Yeah. I'm not going to wait until I think He might come. Paul said, "Be ready. Preach this gospel. Live this gospel. Walk this gospel, because it's truth. And if you do that, you'll be ready when that trumpet sounds." Listen, the writers of the Old Testament penned their words according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that led them to do that. And in their obedience to God, they made sacrifices, blood sacrifices. The priests who performed the sacrifices could not know that the blood sacrifice was a type of another blood sacrifice that would be made by the hope of glory. Not someone else, the hope of glory himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice something. The first blood sacrifice was made by God. God made the first blood sacrifice when he slew an animal, shed the blood of that innocent animal, and made robes for Adam and Eve, to cover their nakedness because now they were guilty of sin. And like mankind, they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves or big leaves off of a tree somewhere. I don't know why they called it fig leaves, but leaves. Now you have to be close to an idiot to not understand that leaves dry up and they fall off. And again, you're guilty. So God made a covering. When he made the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden to cover the sins of Adam and Eve, he was the first one. And God made the last sacrifice on an old rugged cross. This time, the blood didn't cover man's sin. The blood forgave man. It's a covering for us, yes. But the blood was for forgiveness. Not only to cover us, but to forgive us. See, you can be covered and unforgiven. People talk about having a covering. He's my covering. She's my covering. Ah, bull. I don't want nobody covering me. I'm already covered. Covered by the blood. We sing about it. We rejoice about it. But we're not only covered, we are washed inside. We are free because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now we live under a different law. The Bible calls it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How can we do that? Well, we can't. We do it because we're in Him. In our old natural bodies, we couldn't do anything like that. But God made the first blood sacrifice and God made the last one. There were many in between. But every sacrifice that was made from the garden to the cross, and there were millions that were made in the Old Testament. They had the blood of an innocent animal. Notice the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they never went out and got a wild animal. They didn't go shoot a deer and sacrifice it. They didn't go out into the world. That's a type. They didn't go out into the world to get a sacrifice. It had to be a sacrifice that was pure. And all of them had to be gentle. What animal is more gentle than a sheep? The Bible says our Lord was like a sheep led to the slaughter.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to drive my